Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Exodus chapter 2 this morning. Exodus chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 1. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes, and dabbed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her young woman walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and went and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is the one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, because she said, "I drew him out of the water." So far this morning, let's pray together. Father, as the deer pants for the water, so like that psalmist, our souls long for you to fill our hearts, to fill our lives with your presence, so that we might be guided in your ways, because we have come to know that your ways are best for us, that your ways lead to the abundant life that you have promised us. And so as we come around your word this morning, we pray that you would again satisfy our hunger for you and speak to us through your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I read an article in a magazine this week, and it was entitled, "What My Mother Taught Me." It said, "My mother taught me religion. She said, 'You better pray that your father doesn't find out.' My mother taught me time travel. She said, 'If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week.' My mother taught me about logic. She said, 'Because I said so, that's why.' My mother taught me irony. 'Just keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about.' My mother taught me the science of osmosis. 'Shut your mouth now and eat your supper.' My mother taught me about the weather. 'It looks as if if a tornado has swept through your room. Tidy it up.' My mother taught me about hypocrisy. She said, 'If I've told you once, I've told you a million times. Don't exaggerate.' My mother taught me about behavior modification. 'Stop acting like your father.' And my mother taught me the circle of life. She said, 'I brought you into this world, and I can take you out.'" After I read this article, I realized that my mom has taught me a lot as well. And because it's Mother's Day today, I thought it would be appropriate to once again expose ourselves to a lesson from a mom. After all, moms know best, don't they? Our lesson comes from Moses' mom, a lady by the name of Jochebed. And she's going to teach us this morning something about faith. Something about faith. Her qualification for teaching us something about faith is found in Hebrews 11. Many of you know that Hebrews 11 is the Hall of Fame chapter of those who lived by faith in God. It says in verse 23 of Hebrews 11, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict." Moses' parents, verse 1 of Exodus chapter 2, tells us, were both from the house of Levi. This would eventually be the priestly tribe of the people of Israel. But we can expect that every child who belonged to God's people, Israel at this time, those who were now in slavery in Egypt, were knowledgeable and well-versed in the ways and the promises of God, of the God of Israel. How God had dealt with Abraham by calling him from a foreign land and said, you ought to go to another land. And there I will give you that land, and I'll make your family into a great nation. And I will bless you, and you'll be a blessing to many people. And so they knew, Jochebed, Moses' father, Aram, knew these promises, knew about this God whom their people were formed from. At this stage in our passage, though, Jochebed had an older daughter named Miriam and a younger son named Aaron. She was about to give birth to her third child, Moses. But while she was pregnant, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, who had, as I said, enslaved the Israelites after Joseph had died, had issued a decree that every male born to the Israelites or to the Hebrew woman must be thrown and killed into the Nile River, because the Israelites were becoming too many, and he was becoming afraid that they would eventually just take over the land of Egypt. Now, with no scans or ultrasounds or 3D scans at Jochebed's disposal to determine the sex of her baby, as many mothers-to-be have at their disposal today, I'm sure Jochebed spent most of her pregnancy on her knees before God, asking that this little baby would not be a boy. She couldn't bear the thought of giving birth to a boy and having to throw him into the Nile River, having to expose him to the evils of the day. But it was not a boy. Verse 2 says that Jochebed gave birth to a son. And I'm sure her heart stopped, and immediately a flood of emotions filled her whole entire being, over and above the emotions that women usually experience just after labor. All because this little baby was a boy, and it seemed like he had no future. What were they going to do with this little boy? What was going to be their response in these dark days that were facing Israel? Generally, today we respond to desperate situations by what we believe is best in those situations. For instance, if we're desperately sick and we believe that our bodies can fight the infection that is causing our sickness, then we will wait it out. We'll give our body every chance to heal by itself and to build up its own immunity against this virus or this bacteria. Or we will come to the point where we believe that our bodies cannot fight the sickness or the infection anymore, and we'll go to the doctor and we'll seek medical help, and we'll rely on medication. Or, for instance, our business is struggling to keep afloat. If we believe that retrenching staff is the way for our business to once again flourish, then we'll do the hard yards and the painstaking thing of retrenching the staff. But if we believe that it might be tightening up on our expenses or better marketing, then we'll go about having tighter controls or better marketing skills or better marketing projects for our business. We generally respond to desperate situations by what we believe to be best for us. How would Moses' parents respond? Well, they could have chosen to believe and trust that they were taught what they were taught and knew about God growing up. That this God of Israel had called them as a people into existence for a purpose. To be His special people. To be His mouthpiece to the nations about who He was. They knew that God had promised them through Abraham in Genesis 12 that they would become a great nation. And this great nation would one day have a land of their own. A land where they will experience the blessing of God on their lives day in and day out. They knew that God had said to them that He would be their God. And they would be His people. And He would bless them if they obeyed Him. And He would protect them from the nations of the world. Jochebed and Aaron, Moses' parents, knew that their son was born under these promises of God to His people. They knew that their son was an heir to these promises and purposes of a sovereign God. And therefore, he had a future. Or they could have chosen to look at their situation and to believe something completely different. After all, their situation didn't really tell them that they were a God's special people. Or they were going to be a mighty nation. After all, they were in slavery in Egypt, being beaten every day to do the jobs to make another nation flourish. The situation they were in reminded them every day that they did not have a land of their own and that it didn't look likely that they were going to have a land of their own anytime soon. The situation they were in almost told them that God had abandoned them and He had abandoned His purposes for them as His people. Certainly, that situation in slavery, they were not experiencing the blessings of God. And from their vantage point, they couldn't see how God was going to make them a blessing to the peoples of the earth. The whole situation shouted to them hopelessness. Hopelessness. And so which way would they choose? Which way would they respond? What would they believe? Well, we know from the story that Moses' parents, namely his mother, Jochebed, chose to have faith in God. That God's promised their son a future. We read this in verse 2, that when she saw that he was a fine child. Let's just pause there for a moment. A fine child. I kind of chuckle when I read that because I think every mother, when they hold that newborn baby in their arms, think that their child is the finest child. The cutest little blessing that God has given them. There's no doubt in my mind. He was a fine child. But I think Acts chapter 7 verse 20 helps us kind of unpack what Jochebed really saw in her child on this occasion. In verse 20 of Acts 7 it says, "At this time Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight." He was beautiful in God's sight. So what Jochebed saw in this fine child is what God saw in this little life that she had just given birth to. That this one was part of His greater purposes for His people. That this little one was God's special person, that was part of His special people. That He was going to make this child into a blessing, not only to His own people, but to the people of the world. That there was a great future under God's promises for this child. That's what Jochebed saw in Moses. I believe when we read that she saw that he was a fine child. And so she chose to believe God and His promises. She chose to hide this baby away from the Egyptians who wanted him dead, who wanted to give him no future. She basically entrusted her little boy, her dearest little boy, into God's hands as she hid him away from the enemy. We read in verse 3 that this lasted just 3 months. Because as we know, babies don't remain cute and cuddly forever. They grow up. And even in 3 months, Moses had grown up and his cries were getting louder. His demands were increasing. And he was becoming more noticeable, not only to the people around this family, but to the Egyptians as well. And so she couldn't hide him anymore. Again, her response was going to be based on what she believed in. If she believed there was hope, or if she believed there was no hope left for her and for her little child, I'm sure she would have placed him in the Egyptian soldiers' hands. But we read that she believed once again in God and literally and spiritually placed her baby, this dear little baby to her, in the hands of a sovereign God who desired only what was best for his people. Verse 3 carries on to tell us that she took for him a basket made of bulrushes, dabbed it with a bit of bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it in the reeds by the riverbank, the very place where the Egyptians expected her to place the baby in order to kill him. She placed him there in the hands of God to give him life. She really trusted that God had a purpose and a future for her child. And her faith in that was seen in her doing all that she could to keep her son alive and to give him a future, even to the extent of making this little flotation device, this little boat, this little basket, and placing it on the Nile to give her son every opportunity to experience the blessings and the future and the purposes that God had intended for him. In verse 4, her faith in God is also seen in allowing her daughter, Miriam, who must have been only a few years old, to go and watch what would happen to this baby boy. If she didn't believe that God had a future and was going to protect this little boy, if she believed that he was going to be exposed to a horrible death as soon as he was detected and found, I'm sure she wouldn't have sent Miriam to go and watch what would happen. In fact, some scholars believe that in faith, she even instructed little Miriam what to say to the person who would eventually find the little baby on the Nile River. "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew woman to nurse this child?" It's not exactly what you would expect to come out of Miriam's mouth, is it? Rather, we would expect her to say to Pharaoh's daughter, "Please don't kill my baby brother. Please." But maybe, influenced by her mother's great faith in God, Miriam's was able to also have faith that this little baby had a future. And she followed her testimony of her mother's great dependence on God, and she went, and she followed the baby. And when he was detected, she spoke on behalf of her mother. And so what Jochebed teaches us about faith in God this morning is that faith in God enables us to put the things that are dear to us, the things that we treasure in our lives, in the very hands of a sovereign God. Faith in God enables us to put the things that are dear to us in God's hands. Jochebed's faith in God and his promises enabled her to hide her son for 3 months. Jochebed's faith in God enabled her to give to God her son by giving him every opportunity to survive by building that basket and placing him on the river. Jochebed's faith in God that he had a future for her son enabled her to send her daughter along the river, watching that basket, going to instruct those who would find the baby and give him a future. Jochebed's faith in God enabled her to give God what was so dear to her, because she knew God had a purpose for her little baby. She knew that God had what was best in store for the thing that was so dear to her. If we consider this morning Jochebed and who she put her faith in, that he is the one who created all things and rules over all situations of life, That He is the one who has an unconditional love for us, that's breadth and width and height and depth cannot be reached and plummeted. That He is the one who has promised us a hope and a future. That He is the one who is working all things for our good, so that we might experience the life that He intended for us to experience. That He is the one who gave up what was so dear to Him, so that we might find Him to be so dear to us. That He is the one who has promised to never abandon or forsaken us. If we consider that this is who Jochebed trusted in, this is the one who she trusted her dearest little baby into His hands, we would conclude, why wouldn't she do what she did? For that's the best possible future, the best possible outcome for this baby's life, even if there wasn't a decree over his life to kill him. Friends, that same God that Jochebed trusted her dearest little baby to is the same God that calls us to a life of faith in Him. The same God who wants us to commit the most dearest of things to us into His hands in order to give us the best future, not only for ourselves, but for the things that are dear to us. I don't know about you this morning, but I have found in my life that the things that are very dear to me are the things that are so hard to entrust to God in faith, to take care of, and for His blessings to take root in their lives. I think, for instance, my children. I love them so dearly. I want to protect them from the evils of the world. I want to shelter them from hurt and pain. I want to determine with them their futures. I want to kind of control their lives in such a way that their lives will be profitable and prosperity and result in prosperity. I want what is best for them, as any parent would want. And the more I strive for this and to strive to bring this about in their lives, the more I get frustrated, because the more I realize that I can't do all that for them. The more I get frustrated because I realize that the more I give myself to doing that, the more I take myself away from other things which are equally important in my life. My relationship with God. My relationship with my wife. A relationship with people who mean a lot to me as well. We all have things that are dear to us, don't we? We all have things in our lives today that we treasure, and we want only what is best for them. God does not want us to not have them. He wants us to treasure these things. But He wants us more to entrust those things into His care. He wants us to entrust them into His care so that He becomes the one who is ultimately our treasure, the one who is ultimately the one who is dear to us. Whether it's our children, whether it's our spouses, whether it's our businesses, whether it's our cars or houses or our retirement or our financial security, whatever it might be, our health, our jobs, God desires that we entrust Him with those things so that ultimately He becomes the one that is so dear to us, because He's got the best future for those things and for us in His control. God desires that we would treasure Him so much because of who He is and what He has promised us, that He would become our ultimate treasure. And Jochebed teaches us this morning that faith enables us to put the things that are dear to us into God's hands so that God might be able to give us His very best for our lives and for those things that are so dear to us. We carry on in the rest of the passage this morning, and it just speaks about the God who can be trusted, with the things that are dear to us. That he has a future, that he has a purpose for these very things. From Pharaoh's daughter rescuing Moses in a miraculous way, just one day walking beside the river, and that little basket floating right by her, to Moses' mother being paid to raise Moses when she was a slave, to the very fact that Moses becomes God's deliverer for his people and is the one who will lead them out of slavery into the fulfillment of God's promises for his people. God can be trusted, friends, with the things that are dear to us today. God can be trusted. And faith enables us to put the things that are dear to us in God's hands, that God might become more and more dear to us as we see his plans and purposes being unfolded in the things that are dear to us. And so this morning, what might be dear to you that is all consuming for you, that is taking all your energy and time and strength and trying to protect it and give it a future that you know God would want for it? What might be so dear to you this morning that is causing you anxiety over and worrying about? What might be so dear to you this morning that's causing God to take second place in your life and not become the one who is most dear to you? Faith in God, who he is and what he has promised us, enables us to take the things that are dear to us and place them in God's hands and say, God, you know what's best for them. You know how to give them a future. You know how to give them a purpose. I want to treasure you most of all. What is in your life this morning that you need to hand over in faith to God to take care of and to give a future to? Faith enables us to do that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this lesson from Jochebed this morning. More importantly, thank you for this message that comes through her, but is from you, reminding us that you have a future for us, that you have a purpose for us as well, a great purpose. Sometimes as we live in this world and in this country, and I guess sometimes in the situation that we find ourselves in today, we often think that there is no hope for us. There is no future for the things that are dear to us. But Lord God, we thank you for reminding us that you can be entrusted with the things that are dear to us, because you do have a future for us. And thank you that you have enabled us through faith to be able to hand those things over to you. Even, Lord, despite how difficult it might be for us to do that, you have enabled us as we contemplate and we consider who you are for us in Jesus. All that you mean to us and all the promises that you've given to us in your word, that in faith we are able to do that and we're able to enjoy the life that you've entrusted to us. Oh Lord God, help us. Help us to be able to do that today. Not to be consumed by trying to protect and keep and give a future to the things that are dear to us in our strength, but to entrust them to you because you know what's best. We pray for ourselves this morning. We pray for the mothers that are represented here and the mothers represented all over the world. Oh Lord God, may we be people of faith that entrust to you the things that are dear to us, so you might become the ultimate one who is dear to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.